These United States of America. You ever heard that phrase? These United States of America. It wasn't until just about 40 years ago, maybe 50 years ago, that someone coined the phrase the United States of America, as though it is a single entity. And it is a single entity, it is a single country, but it's made up of 50 states. And originally, the founding fathers intended that this be known as these United States of America. And so people have the idea that it's just one country, and it is. But the states are what make up that country. The states are united together to form this union that we know as the United States of America today. When we talk about being united in marriage, a man and a woman commit themselves to one another with spoken vows, with the giving and receiving of rings, as they pledge their loyalty and their love and their faithfulness to each other for the rest of their lives. The bonds of matrimony, it is called, but we refer to it as being united in marriage. When you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you became united with Christ. You were in a union with Jesus. The Bible describes that union in common terms in Ephesians 5, in common terms similar to that of marriage between a husband and a wife. And the wife, in the case of you and me, is the church. And Christ is the bridegroom. And we have been united with Christ in a form of matrimony where He is our husband. He is our protector, our provider, and participates in this union with us. We are indeed united with Christ. The statement I cited this reference last week, but it gave me a thought about the sermon tonight. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave Himself for me. In Ephesians 5, husbands are told, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And so two references now where we talk about what Jesus did. And so I want to talk about the union that we have with Christ, being united with Christ in this reference of being crucified with Christ and yet living. Christ living in me, I in Him, He in me. When we talk about our life as Christians, everything about our life as Christians should be wrapped up in the will of Jesus, in what His will for us is, and what He wants for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 15 through 17, we talk about loyalty to Jesus, we talk about faithfulness. You think about faithfulness of a husband and his wife. If a wife is unfaithful to her husband, or a husband is unfaithful to his wife, you end up with terrible, terrible dilemma. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. When we talk in the Old Testament where Adam was joined with his wife Eve, Moses cited this statement, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The two are one. There's that union. There's that united. Now, obviously, we're dealing with the physical relationship of a man and his wife, a wife and her husband. But the point is, we belong to Jesus. We are married to Him. He is our Savior, He is our Lord, He is our Master, He is our husband, He is the bridegroom of the church. He is the one to whom we are to be loyal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. It is essential that we understand God wants us to be loyal to His Son. Jesus expects us to be faithful to Him. He said in Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Be faithful to me. Be faithful to me. When we are divided, when we have divided loyalties, when we are distracted by the cares of the world, it's a sign of a lack of faithfulness to Jesus. One of the big problems that God had with the children of Israel in the Old Testament was the fact that they were unfaithful to God. They would go off after other idols. They wanted to be like the people that lived around them. They would look and see what they did. Well, we want to do that too. And so they would worship other gods. And I don't know what their motivation was. I can't comprehend that, can you? I mean, it makes no sense to me. It's easy for me to sit here in the 21st century. That is where we are right now, 21st. Okay. It's easy for us to sit here and judge them and say, look at all that God did for you. How can you go off after other idols? How can you do this? But keep in mind that the old law was in force for 1,500 years. 1,500 years. And at the end of the Old Testament, at the end of it, when the New Testament starts, Jesus is born, the law has been in effect for almost 1,500 years. It's been 1,500 years since they left the land of Egypt. They're 1,500 years removed from the 10 plagues. 1,500 years removed from the crossing of the Red Sea. Do you suppose that if America makes it to 1,500 years, we'll still remember the attitudes and the desires of our founding fathers toward this nation? You think we'll still remember that vividly? You think history will still be accurate? It's easy to forget. And somebody says, well, how could they forget all the good that God did to them? Well, when you get caught up in day-to-day living, it's easy to forget unless you have a very strong sense of commitment, unless you have a strong sense of loyalty to your God. And so they went off after other idols, and that was one of the big problems with them. Well, the challenge for us, my brothers and sisters, is that we remember who is our Lord. We are united with Christ. All right, let's look at His side of the union. What is it that Jesus brings to this relationship? While we're on the earth, we are united with Him just like a branch is a part of the vine. We are the branches. He is the vine, according to John 15. And life flows from the vine to the branches. It's essential then that we hold on tight to Jesus. But He also holds on tight to us. He holds us clearly. He's the one who supplies us life. He supplies us all of our blessings. He's the one who is giving us everything that we need in this life. As He promised, if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then the food, the clothing, the shelter, the necessities of life will be provided for us. God will make a way. He will provide it for us if we put God and His kingdom first. So the Christian abides in Christ and has life because of what Jesus does. You know, the grapes grow and ripen on the branches, and they draw the life force from the vine itself. And that's exactly the same way that Christ gives life to us. And He expects us to bear fruit. And there's two kinds of fruit, by the way, that a Christian bears. Sometimes we talk about one more than the other. One of those, of course, is bringing lost souls to Jesus, reproducing ourselves, telling men and women the story of the Lord so that they too can have that salvation. But it also includes Christ-like qualities, evidence of Christ in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is referred to in Galatians. And so this deals with, we're dealing with the fruit of the Spirit, we're looking at qualities that would be Christ-like, that we exhibit. That's bearing fruit. for Christ. He's the one who's bearing fruit through us. It's His strength, it's His power, it's His providence that's making it possible for us to bear fruit. But we're the ones who have to be loyal and faithful to Him to do it. Brethren, we are members of His body. While we're on the earth, united with Him as the vine and the branches, we are also members of His body. Now, it's a hard thing for us to comprehend. Christ is the head of the body. The body is the church. The body is the church. The church is made up of individual Christians. The church is not an organization. It's not an organization. The church is the body of Christ. It is individual Christians joined together with Christ. Christ is the uniting force in our being together. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different places. We come from different economic status, social status, historical status, family status. We come from all over. Some folks are even here from up north. Can you imagine? We come from all over. And yet, the thing that unites us together is Christ. This is what it means to be a member of His body. It belongs to Him. The church reflects Christ upon this earth. In Romans 12, 4 and 5, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Members of one another, just like the hand and the foot are members of the human body. Ephesians 5:30, "For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones." We are members of the same family. There's love and affection with the family, right? And there's supposed to be love and affection here, love and affection with Christ and His church. Christ is the head of the family, and He loves His family. And He guides His family. And He gives counsel to His family. And He listens to us. And when we pray, He listens to us. And He's the one who blesses us. He is the one truly who provides for us, who protects us, and who participates with us in our life of service. But we need to understand something about this. We need to understand that since we're members of the body of Christ, and if one member suffer, Christ suffers with us, representatively. I don't mean literally Jesus is in heaven bleeding if we're bleeding, or crying if we're crying. I don't mean that literally. But representatively, He suffers with us. What happens to us happens to Him. If we are honored, Christ is honored. And if we are shamed, then we bring shame upon the name of Christ. If we do wrong, we bring dishonor upon the name of Christ. And if we do right, then we bring glory and honor to the name of Christ. We need to recognize that's the effect that we have in this earth. This is why one of the qualifications of being an elder is that you are not only above reproach, but that you have a good name without. You got to have a good name, a good reputation outside the body. And that every Christian is charged to as much as in you is, live peaceably with all men. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Our reputation is essential. It is vital that we represent Christ to a world that's lost. And in doing this, not only do we show them the way to the light, but we are also bringing glory and honor to our Lord. And He is in this with us all the way. Now, Christ brings then to this side, from His side of the relationship, He brings His protection, He brings His providence as He provides for us, and He participates in our life. Jesus said, "Wherever you are, I'm going to be there with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to be there with you." Where are you going to go where Jesus is not there with you? Where will you find a place that He's not going to be right there with you? He's with us all the time. He's promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised that He will not leave us without comfort, without support, without help. We're never alone. We're never on our own. That's very comforting to me, because I know how easy it is for me to mess stuff up. I can do it so fast. Does anybody else feel that way about yourself? Anybody else feel that way about me? Don't answer that one. But we can mess stuff up, can't we? I'm so thankful that I'm not alone. I mean, you know, look, I love little kids, but I'm going to tell you something. It don't take long for them to mess up a house, does it? I mean, it does not take long. They can mess up a house so fast. And it doesn't matter how fastidious, how tidy you may be at home, how you may have your house in perfect order, childproof. They can mess up your house if you're not watching in a heartbeat, in a heartbeat. And so can we. And I'm not talking about our house. I'm talking about our life. We can mess up our life so fast. I'm so thankful we're never alone. He's with us, and he's going to help us. But we've got to be committed to him. Now let's talk about what we do for him. What do we bring to this relationship? And the lesson will be yours. Jesus is the Lord. He's in charge. Not me. I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge in my own house. I know that the man's the head of the house, but Christ is the head of man. So even in my own house, I'm not in charge. He is. He is. That's how it has to be. If I want to be successful as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, Jesus has to be in charge. That's the only way I'll be successful. If he's in charge, then everything's going to work out. It's going to be okay. But we are to be humble and obedient to him. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. As though you were serving Christ, you serve your masters in the flesh. Well, if that's true of the flesh, it's certainly true of the Spirit. From the Spirit side of this, we are to be humble and submissive, with fear and trembling, with sincerity of heart in our service to Jesus Christ. And we're not to do it with eye service as men pleasers. They call it in India butterers. We're not to be buttering. You know, you heard the phrase, oh, you're just buttering me up. Well, they don't say buttering me up. They just say, oh, you're buttering, brother. You're buttering. Well, that's what the same thing. Not a matter of trying to look good. Put on a good show. You know, put your best foot forward. Try to make sure that they, you know, you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. So we want to really put on the best. No, it's not about putting on a show. It's about sincerity of heart, about serving our master and our Lord as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. From the heart. From the heart. Our service comes from in here, from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. The point of this passage directly is dealing with your earthly masters, but the principles here apply to our relationship with our Lord. He is in charge. 1 Peter 5:5-6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, and the passage in James 4:4-6, as well as verse 10, says virtually the same thing. We sing the song, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It's a beautiful song. Do we mean it? Our love is measured by our conduct, by the way we conduct ourselves, by the way we live. Our love for the Lord is measured by not only the words we say, but then what we do after we finish singing. What do we do after we finish singing? Have a big argument? Go have a party and get drunk? What do we do when we finish singing? When we leave church, what do? Go out and lie in order to get rich, or look for some way to cheat in order to gain an advantage over somebody else? Do we look for a way to get even when somebody's messed with us or hurt our feelings? Do we talk bad about folks who talk bad about us? What do? After we finish singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." In John 14, verse 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." If we mistreat someone, that means we don't love them, doesn't it? Doesn't matter who it is. If you mistreat someone, you don't love them. You just can't say, "I love you," while you're punching somebody in the nose. It just doesn't fly, does it? It just doesn't work. If Jesus came today, walked in this room right now, how would you treat him? What if he walked in and asked you to scoot over and sat down right beside you? Wow. Not only would that be an unbelievable honor, it would also be very frightening, wouldn't it? It would be a scary thing. How would you treat Jesus if he walked in this room today and sat down right beside you? Well, let me just tell you, he's sitting there. He's sitting there. That person that's sitting next to you, Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. And inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not to me." He's sitting there. You see, the way we treat Jesus is going to be seen by the way we treat each other and the way we treat others. It's imperative then that we learn to treat each other like we should. You see, the Lord is here. The Lord is here in His Spirit and in His followers. The Lord is here with us today. And while we do not worship His followers, of course, we are to love and respect all of our brothers and sisters. All of them. All of them. That includes the poorest, the weakest, the desirable and the undesirable, the educated and the uneducated, the rich and the poor, the wise and the unwise, the lovable, the unlovable. We are to love all, respect all, and help all. And that's our responsibility. So we have to do that. And it's an indication of our love for Jesus when we do this. This is how we show our love for Him, by keeping His commandments and by loving each other. That's how we show our love for Him. And so this is a mark of our faithfulness to our Lord. We are united with Christ. What He does for us is beyond measure. And what we do for Him is a very small thing, but it involves our faithful, loyal service to Him and our taking care and loving one another. That's the responsibility that we share. This union with Jesus means union with the whole family of God, the whole family of God in heaven one day. Everybody that makes it to heaven will be a part of that same family that we're in now. Every person that makes it to heaven will be part of the same body, part of that same union, if you please, united with Christ. I want to be in that number. I know you do too. So my encouragement to you this evening is that you make up your mind that you're going to do your part, that you're going to love Him by being faithful and keeping His commandments. You're going to love Him by loving each other and doing as we should, conducting ourselves in the way that God expects. If you are not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become a child of God tonight. Believe in Jesus enough to turn from sin and repentance, to commit your life to His service. Confess the sweet name of Jesus, and then be baptized for remission of sin. Having done that, if you've not been faithful to your Lord, if there's something we can do to help you, we want to encourage you to come tonight if you need to, as together we stand and sing.